To call a man transparent is to attack his soul, his very being. It can be received as the ultimate insult. Unless, that is, the man in question is actually, literally see-through. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Shanklin and his olive-skinned friend Dave.
Hello, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our weekly podcast, Flats and Shanks. I am Tom Shanklin.
And I am Di Flats.
And this could be the last one of the summer. We're not quite sure yet.
What do you mean could be?
Well, I mean, the domestic season is over, but there are tours. England are going away. Wales are going away. Yeah. Scotland. Ireland. Come on. I mean, if we can prize you away from...
Oh, come on.
We can prize you away from your cottage in Devon and get you up on the M4, meet at the services, then we can get a pod going.
It's not a cottage.
Okay. Townhouse.
It's an ex-council house.
Listed building, I don't know what
it is. Ex-council house.
Barn conversion, I don't know.
People don't want another pod from us this year, this summer, this season. They don't want another one. This is enough.
They might want another one when they find out what efforts you've gone to record this podcast today on a bank holiday Monday at Lee Delamere Services westbound, which I am going to go in a minute. In a minute now, after this pod.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let loose in M&S.
Are you?
Yeah.
What, for supper tonight or snacks for the way back?
Can it be both?
Just some snackerels.
Yeah.
Oh, so, you see, that's a good idea. So I've got a night at my house in Bath, completely on my own, without dogs, children or wife, and I was just going to...
Just the way you
Deliveroo.
Like it. Deliver who?
Who? I was going to get a little Deliveroozies.
What? What one?
Probably sushi.
Yeah, I don't get sushi.
I get it, but it's just so expensive.
I just don't get it.
It's
just, I don't want to eat raw fish.
Yeah, but you're a bit of a Neanderthal. You're not a Neanderthal, but a pleb, aren't you?
No, I just
you're
think
a bit
it's
basic, mate.
I think you eat sushi, you know, you're trying to be something you're not.
No, what if you eat it on your own in your sitting room without
cool,
anyone
because
seeing?
Because people eat it.
You like the taste.
It's meant to be cool, so...
I'm not sure if sushi's cool.
Yeah, it is, mate. It is. And people eat it because...
It's overpriced is what it is.
They're just materialistic, mate.
Materialistic?
It's like oysters. What's the point of them?
What? Well, you're going into M&S. Why don't you just go to somewhere to get a Burger King? Much cheaper.
I don't have a burger. I want to have fruit.
They do.
Otherwise,
fruit and Burger
I get
King.
A colon like yours.
Yeah, a semicolon. People don't want another pod this summer. Let's call it a day.
We'll see. If we can fit one in, should we agree on this? If we can fit one in, we'll bloody do it.
Okay, fine.
But yeah, you've gone to some lengths today to be here. You've had a busy weekend.
Yeah.
You've been down with HSBC for the... I mean, what am I talking for you? Tell us what you've been up to, mate.
No, I haven't been doing anything at HSBC.
He's got a sore throat.
I know. All right. This weekend, I was at the Premiership Final.
That's right.
With Channel 5 and Prem Rugby. And then yesterday, it's Monday today, I was at England against the Barbarians with Quilter, formerly known as Old Mutual Wealth, but they are indeed Quilter now. They've rebranded. And all the better for it. And today, Ugo, Jace Robinson, Daniel Waterman and I were at Twickenham for a Quilter sort of kids' first day. It's actually a really cool day.
Double header, that's what I call it.
Double header, yeah. So that was really nice, but I'm on the way back down the M4 now to go home, and at 6 a.m. I'm leaving for Devon. I'm going down to Devon for the day with a couple of mates.
Run out of custard, have you?
Run out of custard. So very early, getting down there for breakfast tomorrow morning, and then I'm leaving at breakfast time Wednesday morning. So I have one day in Devon.
Where have
one
I got
night.
HSBC from? You've done that before, though.
And then I'm
it?
Going to London straight away, back to London, from Devon to London. HSBC is coming up this coming weekend
with the Sevens at
Twickers.
I knew there was something there.
Seven specialist, aren't I?
Do you bank with them?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Not interested.
Do you?
No, I don't
either. Do you know why I changed?
They didn't have
a serviceable app.
Because you weren't getting enough interest on the millions you've got on there.
Millions, yeah, it'd be nice. They didn't have enough didn't have an app, did they?
Who? HSBC?
Yeah, maybe they have now. But Lloyds had the best app, so I went to Lloyds. I can do it all on my phone because I'm not very organised and I'm busy, so I don't want to be having to go to the bank and setting up stuff on my laptop so I could pay someone 50 quid for something.
Presumably you like black horses.
Always have. The day after our live pod with James Haskell, which I loved, by the way, I passed my motorcycle theory test.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Everyone said it was really hard and I was going to fail it because I did no revision, but...
Huge achievement. Wanted to go on the CV. A lot of good response from the James Haskell pod. A lot of people saying that they didn't realise what a decent bloke he actually was, which, I mean, he wasn't as nice as that when we were having a chat, but as soon as he got on air and as soon as we went live, God, the mask come on, didn't it?
Yeah.
And like, yeah. You know, so
do you know what?
Read into that.
Do you know what really...
What you want.
Really...
No, he's generally a nice guy.
Do you know what really bites my hiney? Is people tweeting and copying in James Haskell saying stuff like, wasn't sure about him, never really liked him, but he was good on this pod. It's like, why would you tweet someone and insult them like that? You don't know. In brackets, I've never met you, don't know you, but never really liked you, but this was good. It's like, why?
I hate when people say, I never used to like you, but I do now. Like,
thank you.
They're the judge of character.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you like me. I don't care if you like me or not. We had lunch in... We had lunch up in London, didn't we, on Wednesday with...
did we?
Yeah, Christian Day's testimonial thing.
Yeah, we did.
Tell him.
Yeah, well, we had lunch with Mike Valance from Santander. Matt Ford, who is commercial marketing director for Gaucho, he sorted us out there and he popped along for a little bit, upgraded our wine.
Nice man.
Richard Clifford, Simon Hammerschmidt from KPMG, big, big listener. He actually... His profile picture on Twitter looks scary, but when you actually meet him, he's brilliant.
Well, funny looking fella in the flesh, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's the type of guy that some sort of circular glasses, like a professor, would sort of really suit.
Yeah, or make him look like Woody Allen crossed with Yul Brynner from Westworld. I mean, anyway, he listens to this, so we mustn't be too rude.
Yeah, so we had a nice lunch. Christian Day.
Yeah, I saw
testimonial.
I saw Hugh Vivian the morning after that. I was back to London the day after that. I sort of met Hugh Vivian just with Matt Powell, and I met Hugh Vivian for a little chat about some stuff.
Is he still uber ginger, or is that gingerness starting to fade?
He's Huber Ginge. He's Huber Ginge. Amy Huber Ginge. Had a little lunch with someone else there on the Thursday. A little brand. I won't mention what brand because you'll just go.
Why? Why change a lifetime?
No, because I haven't...
Habit of a lifetime.
No, because I haven't done anything with them yet, so it might be a bit odd for me to mention it.
Okay. You are the brand, though.
No, I'm not.
Okay, fine. You're not.
Why am I the brand?
Don't know, you associate yourself with a lot of brands.
What brands am I associated with? Land Rover. Who else?
Field and Flower.
Yep.
Nike.
Where's that come from?
Don't know, you've got your head to toe in Nike.
Yeah, I'm not associated with the brand.
Loke shoes, Aspinall handbags.
No, I don't work with Aspinall anymore. Don't have a deal with Loke. Keep going though, this is good.
Lawnmower.
Yep.
Yeah. Triumph now.
Yep.
Yeah. So and that's just off the top of my head. Wait till I think of a few more.
Which I hadn't asked now. Shit. Oh, God. You've done me like a kipper there, boy.
All right, oh nice.
We got a better crack on, so we have to get the geese and hawks after this.
Another one.
Oh God. Oh, too much, isn't it? Too blimmin' much.
Rogue trader.
I did have I had a coffee with one of the big boss men from Field and Flower on Friday, actually. He lives in Bath. So he's a lovely man, and it's actually a lovely company. So I was buying lots of meat from them anyway, and if they said, look, it doesn't make sense for us to now and again send you stuff, whatever, then I would still be buying stuff from them. So you know that as well as I do.
Yeah, of course I do. Of course I do. You wouldn't be down Tesco's or Sainsbury's or Morrison's like me.
No, I actually wouldn't. Not for my barbecue meat.
Rib. You get ribs.
Ribeye, yeah.
Yeah. Rib. When you go down to Devon, you get a rib.
Yeah.
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 Oh, nice.
Yeah, so... yeah, all just blimmin' lovely, Tommy. Blimmin' lovely. So, here's a question for you now. Are we doing this podcast next season? Is this potentially the last ever... Are we doing it again?
This could be it. Well, we've not actually had a conversation about it. We've made no plans to do a podcast next season.
Well, I mean, we haven't made plans not to either.
No, no.
Is this our second season?
Season two. Season two. Mm. Mind you, though, I really, really enjoy 24 season three. It was my favourite season out of all of them.
Do you want to do it again?
Yeah.
People listening to this are going to think we already know. We're just hamming it up, but we haven't actually.
Well, no, honestly, we haven't. I mean, it's a non-profit making podcast, really.
We do it for the love of the game, don't we?
Yeah, but you know, the new Range Rover Discovery Sport is out now. OTR 40,000 grand pounds. No, maybe.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, let's do it. I reckon we'll do it. We'll start, and then if we don't finish it, at least we'll look back on our lives in 20 years' time with no regrets. I've always said that.
You always said that, haven't you?
Yeah. No regrets. No surrender.
Johnny Wilkinson once said that he lives his life like he's on camera, so he doesn't do stuff wrong. Like behave as if you're being watched.
Really? There's the fun in that.
Yeah. I might have made that up. Sorry, Johnny, if he did. You know he listens every week. That's not how I live my life, by the way. I live my life as if cameras haven't been invented yet.
That's why I didn't bring a book out. The less people know about me, the better. Johnny Wilkinson probably is listening to this on Alexa.
Of course he is, yeah.
Seen those adverts?
That's a good gig, that.
You heard those adverts?
Yeah, well done, yeah. J-Dub. Well done, mate.
Do you know what I've been up to?
Hang on a sec. What have you been up to?
Well, David, I hosted a Future Leaders seminar with Sam Warburton from the Cardiff Blues for DS Smith on Wednesday.
The bin people?
No, this is paper and recycling. So, yes, we do bins.
Bins, yeah.
But that's just a small percentage of what we do. The primary percentage is packaging. But the paper and the recycling industry, some of their future leaders, so delegates from around Europe came, and we all, it's about 13 of us, we were in the Park Plaza in Cardiff, and we had a chat. They're on a bit of a team bondage
session.
Yeah. And they'd done some problem solving in the morning. They'd done some activities. They'd been out and about. And then Sam and I came in, and we had a chat about what makes a good leader. And we opened it up to the forum, and they were asking all the
questions. What does make a good leader, then? What did he say?
A big thing for him was about not being afraid to make mistakes. Now, on a rugby field, you're not really that afraid to make mistakes because you've got to try things. You might drop the ball. You might try and throw a 30-yard pass. You might try one out the back, something different. But in business, I think a lot of people are scared of making mistakes. And you shouldn't be, because you learn from your mistakes. It's about gaining people's respect around you, because for a leader and for a captain, you know, every game you play has to be an 8 or a 9 minimum out of 10. You know, you have to be one of the best players, if not the best player on the field. But it's also, you need the respect of the boys as well. So it's about chipping in. It's about making sure that you make time for people. You don't all have to get on, but you have to get to know one another. And he was saying, you know, he'd make time out of his day to go and have a chat with some of the youngsters and try and find that common ground and lead them from the front. Mm. So it was really interesting. And it was good, and he came across uber well.
Of course he did.
As you can imagine.
Of course he did.
He is Mr. Corporate. And then that evening, I hosted the Cardiff Blues End of Season Awards.
Oh, right. How was that then?
It was really nice. There's a new Land Rover garage. They sponsor Cardiff
Blues. Is there?
On Hadfield Road in Cardiff.
There's a new what? Hang on. There's a new what garage?
Jaguar Land Rover.
Got it.
And on the right-hand side was sort of the reception where there was food. Spiro's, who does all the food around Cardiff, basically.
Good grub?
Really good. Sort of small portions, like street food it was there. Really nice.
Bowl food, like Harry and Meghan. That's their reception. Yeah. Bowl food. At the
end. Exactly that. With drinks. And then the other side, that was the Jaguar side. The Land Rover side was all kitted out with chairs and a stage. That Gennaro, the Gennaro title sponsors.
Really?
Yeah. Bubs was title sponsor of the awards.
Oh my god.
So I had to invite
Bubs is really somebody now.
So I had to invite Pete Leckie, which is Bubs, and Peter Thomas up on stage for the final award, which is the Peter Thomas
Award. Oh my god, you have Bubs on stage.
So I said, next up, ladies and gentlemen, we have the Peter Thomas Award sponsored by Peter Leckie from Gennaro. I'd like to welcome Peter Thomas and Peter Leckie One makes pies, the other eats them.
Hey!
I'll let you decide.
Yee!
Because obviously Peter Thomas, Peter Pies.
And Pete Leckie?
Loves to hide pies inside him.
Yeah. I heard he swallowed Peter Thomas, but it turned out he hadn't.
Maybe.
Did you mock him when he got up there?
No, I'd mocked him before. I left him be. I mean, it's not about me, the awards, is it? It's about the supporters, the fans, the players.
No, it's not. Nobody remembers anyone except players, player, and you. So do you think
Jared Evans won players, player?
Do you think you went down all right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think so. I mean, my opening line was that normally Gethin Jones hosts these awards, but on a Thursday he gets his backside bleached.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to say that.
But you didn't.
I said he has a full body wax. A couple of laughs, but I said, you know, you're laughing, but I bet you it's true.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah. But it was a really nice evening, a lot to celebrate. Champions of Europe, sort of.
Yeah, kind of.
Challenge Cup champions. The whole squad came in to the music, the Challenge Cup music, the European music.
Still counts, mate. You've got to beat some big teams
to
win
that. Put the trophy in the middle of the stage, stood there, standing ovation. But what was really nice, mate, there was Jared Evans won a couple of nice awards. Nick Williams won a nice award. Owen Lane won an award as well.
Yeah.
Thomas Williams won try of the season against Gloucester in that final.
Got it.
But Fal Felice was... There was a special award for Fal Felice, like a bit of a lifetime achievement award.
Yeah.
255 appearances at Cardiff Blues.
He's the boss.
And there was a lovely montage from past and present players for Fal. And some of the highlights, like, he could,
what
some of the highlights showing were just ridiculous from what he did. You know, he could easily look at him and think he was a back by
proper
some of the
player.
Runs. But it was
proper player.
A lovely, lovely standing ovation for Fal.
What's he going to do now?
That's why I asked him.
Go home to Tonga, or is he going to stay here?
Well, he's going to eat lots of chicken, because he loves chicken.
He loves chicken.
He
man.
Loves fried chicken.
He loves it.
But he's going to enjoy retirement, and that's about as much as you get out of Fal.
Yeah, that's quite a long chat for Fal.
Yeah.
And I played with him about 30 times, never 40 times, never heard a word.
Yep.
Tried my best. Very friendly, though.
I'm...
Weirdly friendly, but doesn't... How can you be really friendly but not talk?
I remember meeting him on a team social in Walkabout Bar, because that's the best place to go for a social in Cardiff.
Yeah.
And everyone was dressed up, shirts, jeans, loafers, the lot. He walks in a Four Nations rugby shirt, like Cotton Traders, not Five Nations, Four Nations.
Four Nations.
Split down the middle. It was amazing.
What, just...
Which is an old rugby shirt.
But split, torn.
Yeah, no, just the Four Nations on.
Oh right, so it wasn't torn.
No.
Okay.
Properly old school.
Proper old school. He's a great guy. He's a lovely man. Gold teeth as well.
And I've had a quiet weekend, mate. Watched a bit of the rugby. Watched a bit of the golf. Loved watching the BMW PGA.
Did you?
Yeah.
God, I couldn't get enough of it myself.
Molinari won. It's brilliant.
He knows his stuff. Yeah, good on him. He didn't half putt well, didn't he?
Justin Rose has just won.
His short game was good though, wasn't it?
Well, this whole game was good, mate.
Yeah,
Justin Rose just won the US, one of the PGAs in the US.
That's big.
Yeah, big. It's like his ninth. I think he's leveled that with Nick Faldo, Sir Nick Faldo. So watched a lot of sport, mate. Watched
the major. Barbers. Is it a major that he won?
No, it wasn't major.
No.
Watched the Barbers game.
Oh, Tommy.
Watched the Pro 14. Watched the Aviva final.
The Aviva.
Aviva.
Can you tell us your views on the Pro 14 final, please? Let's just go straight into it, mate.
Shall we?
Yeah.
We're going to need a break somewhere, because we've got to add adverts to it.
But I just want to get home and get my Deliveroo in. All right, have a break now, then. We'll go and get Costa. Go now.
When? Now?
Or now.
Now.
Oh, what a break that was. Wasn't it lovely?
How was your coffee?
Oh, it was... Oh, God. Better
hot.
Not.
Hot. Have you tried the new coconut flat whites? Coconut milk. It's like gluten free.
What, at Costa?
Yeah, they do.
Can you get out of the machines?
Now. No, you can't. You have to go to the.
See, I only like the machine the till. Ones.
Really?
Yeah, I love them. Addicted. What do you make of the Pro 14 final then, boy?
There's only one team in it again. Leinster. There is nothing wrong with losing to that team. They're just better. They're just phenomenal. Defensively, like, Scarlets have been so good in attack, and that's their strength, their attack. There's just no space out there. They defend so... They're so clever in the way they defend. You know, they don't get sucked in by dummy runners. If they do, they push off them. There's bags of communication. They can Leinster control the tempo of the whole game, right? And that to control the tempo of the whole game, you've got to control the contact area. You know, so you've got to be... You've got to be getting through the tackles, getting the ball down on the floor. Then it's up to the scrum half how quickly he wants to get the ball away. They controlled all of that.
Yeah.
From start to finish, they were brilliant in the air. So good in the air. And you see that a lot. You know, like, for instance, when England played Wales in the Six Nations, they were far better than Wales in the air. Mike Brown was dominating that space, as were others. At the weekend, Rob Kearney was just amazing. Nathewa was just great in the air as well. All of them were brilliant in the air. Sexton just pulled the strings. I don't know if there's a calmer person at 10 than him.
Yeah, he's wonderful, isn't he?
Nothing riles him. He doesn't get flustered.
He's such a dominant player, though. He's absolutely neck scruffs games, doesn't he?
Knows his Lowe was brilliant.
Was he?
Yeah, he was really good. And you just look at one of the tries. One of them was a driving line out, right? And they'd driven the first one, and they got another penalty. They kicked a touch. This one, though, Scarlets thought they were going to keep driving it. He just waits and waits, buys his time, and then flashes back. He's standing right behind the line-out drive. Flashes back left, feeds low, quick hands into the corner, try.
Beautiful. Simples. Beautiful.
Simples.
They're an incredible team. They're an incredible team.
Another one was Cronin's try as well. The driving line-out. I think this is the... I can't remember if it's first or second half now. Might be the first half. The driving line-out, he's just at the back. Ken Owens is on the blind with, I think, Steph Evans. He just buys his time, waits for Ken Owens to hit the driving line.
As soon as he commits,
he's gone round the right, goes over. But they were just worthy champions, real worthy champions.
Good on them. What
just,
a team.
Just out. Unfortunately, just outplayed the Scots. Scots had a fantastic year again, finished second, but they came no way near to beat in Leinster. Yeah. And you thought Leinster possibly might have a bit of a hangover from the Champions Cup final.
No
Not
chance.
At all. They finished so strong.
No chance, amazing.
Ringrose was good in the backs. Lama had a great try.
Did he look sharp the whole game?
Really sharp, really sharp. Pacey.
Core skills, was he like kicking and under the high ball? And
good.
Defensively, he's all right?
Yep. Look good. Reece Rullett carried really well. Levy, Conan, as you can imagine.
Oh, good on him.
So,
well done, Leinster. Well done. Did you watch the Prem final?
Yep. Did you?
Yeah, I was there, wasn't I?
Of course you did.
I was just soaking up the Twickers Atmos. Interesting, because the first 10 minutes, Exeter had all the ball. You thought Sarries are not going to get any ball. A couple of penalties. But then, as soon as Sarries get the ball, they score. They get it again and score, get it again and score. And it was almost like the first 7 or 8 minutes aside, it was the most one-sided final I could have imagined. It was bizarrely one-sided, and it looked like Exeter's plan was to send ball runners in so repeatedly, hang on to the ball for so long that Saracens would be exhausted and stretched. They never got exhausted. They never looked stretched or rarely looked stretched. And they actually won the collisions. Saracens repeatedly won the collisions. Makavunapola prominent, more prominent than anyone else. But they bashed Exeter in the carry repeatedly. They were really, really big ball carriers. Hepburn, Ewers, Armour, not making a huge amount of ground. Saracens defended so...
Especially on their own line when Exeter was so good.
And yeah,
You think a try's coming, but they couldn't get over the line, could they?
There aren't many defences that are holding Exeter out like that.
And Exeter did try and play with loads of pace in that first half, didn't they? And you could see that because White just looked shattered at 9.
Yeah.
He just run, because scrum halves basically have to hit every single ruck. They have to be at every
single arrive there.
To get the ball away, yeah. He was just on his feet, wasn't he? Townsend couldn't come on quick enough.
Yeah, so they just looked broken in. Saracens were just just sensational. They were brilliant. And their attack was brilliant too. You know, it wasn't that they just tackled their way and kicked their way to victory. Their attack was outstanding. Owen Farrell's just, he's a different gravy, isn't he?
Yeah, question marks over his injury now.
Yeah, I wonder. But there was...
He'd 100% want to try and make that tour being captain as well.
Yeah, oh yeah. But I mean... But there was no very different fly halves, of course, Simmons and Farrell. But Simmons spent almost the whole game on the back foot. I mean, there's very little he could do because the Saracens' defence was. It was always going to be the battle of the most relentless attack, the best sort of keepers of ball in the country versus the best defence in big games in the country, the best team at shutting down. Brad Barrett, goodness me, what a player! What a player! I know he might not be the glitziest, ritziest player, but I say on Twitter, I think when he retires eventually, just sign a new deal, but when he retires eventually, they may even have to change the way they play because he's so integral to what they do.
No, they won't, mate, at all. They'll have to find another basher in that mould because that's what he does.
But I think you'll need to find someone who can defend as well as him, and that's difficult. And then
make mistakes.
But yeah, if that player comes in and he's not a crasher at 12... then you might have to change the way you play. You might need a crasher at 13 because... But
that's why it works at Saracens, because sometimes when you get a crasher at 12, it limits the way you play.
Mm.
But when you've got players like Goud at 15, you've got Lozowski at 13, you've got ball players there.
Yeah. And those two were both good. Lozowski looked really good, but Alex Goud was fantastic. Thought he played really, really well.
What are you saying, mate, for 13 for England now on tour? Because there's a big, big matchup between Slade... Lozowski. Trinder played 13 on the weekend, pretty quiet.
Yeah, but he's against that fella, Rudrada. I wouldn't want to play against him with a taser. You couldn't hit him with a taser, couldn't hit him with a fishing rod. He was just spectacular. 13 for England. We'll start Jonathan Joseph, won't they?
Maybe.
Probably. I mean, I really want Slade to get a run, but then I really want Daly to get a run, and you know, I like watching Ben Teo play as well, and I don't know. I mean,
loads, isn't there?
Yeah, there's loads. But I don't think Trinder showed up well enough in that game. Well, who did?
Quite quiet.
Kinta Barbars. A couple of guys played well. I thought Tom Curry played really well.
He was good over the ball, wasn't he?
Really good. Thought he's good, and he carries well as well. And Simmons looked good. I think he's so good. Acceleration's crazy. Sorry, that was in the final. Sorry, but. I just 13 for England's a fascinating one, but in the Prem final itself, there was Owen Farrell was brilliant, but there was only one man of the match, Mako Vunipola. I mean, he was man of the match in the semi-final too. He was, I tell you, live in the metal, he was special. The hits he put in defensively and the work rate for someone who looks exhausted before he even starts was just outrageous. Brilliant, brilliant performance.
A lot of blood on his pillow, weren't there, from his ears?
His ears are terrible.
Always got blood on him, innit?
Yeah.
It's like Borthwick, always had a scab on his nose.
Yeah, but I mind you, I had a scab in my ear for nearly 10 years.
Yeah.
It's really annoying. It never heals.
Yeah.
But I got over it. But it wasn't a fascinating final, but it was a very impressive final because huge endeavour from Exeter, but they were, in the end, they were sort of crushed by Saris.
And you think about people writing Saracens off halfway through the season when they had a poor series of results.
Mm.
Didn't quite make the Champions Cup final, but won in style.
There's some pundits who really know their stuff were saying even during that they were still backing Saracens to win the league, and I don't know who that was. Remember who that was?
Was it me?
I think it was you.
Or was it you? Was it?
It was me.
Oh, we'll have a look. We'll try and find that clip.
It was me.
Right, so then anyway, the following day,
oh,
you're in Twickenham.
Mate, boy, pal, bro.
Do you know what I was a little bit worried about? I was a little bit worried that...
When you say worried, you lose sleep?
No, but...
Okay.
Just a little bit of hair. The days of the bar bars were gone. They weren't going to be able to pick top quality players because teams wouldn't release them because of the professionalism coming into rugby now. But they've totally redeemed themselves.
Totally redeemed themselves.
You know, you look at that team, and fair play to the clubs as well, buying into it and letting the players go because it still has history behind it. It's still an amazing achievement to get selected for the Barbars. You look at the greatest try ever scored by Gareth Edwards against New Zealand in the Barbars.
Yeah.
You know, it's still deemed the best try ever. I think it always will be. But you look at that team as well. The exciting one was Chris Ashton at 15.
24-minute hat-trick. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, the first one wasn't really a hat trick.
It still counts, Tommy.
Twist over just passed it to him. Yeah, they all count, but he was literally over the line when he got given it.
And all right, he missed a couple of tackles and made a couple of mistakes, threw a couple of dodgy passes, but scoring a hat trick in 24 minutes, I'll take that, thanks.
He's a predator, mate. Yeah. He should be out in the savannah hunting.
Yeah.
He is, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, a sniff of that line, and he just knows how to finish. And it's not just running tries in, it's chipping over, you know, with 3 metres in front of you to score a try.
That was genius, wasn't
yeah.
it? That was brilliant.
But that's just instinctive stuff.
Yeah.
But also being able to pull it off, and, you know, he certainly will give food for thought, I think.
He got caught twice by George Ford, though.
Yeah.
When he was away, and I wondered if he was just knackered, because
that's what I think.
Plays in France, and they don't train as hard.
A little bit of that, but it's what's gone on previously as well in games, you know, because...
Yeah, he did a lot, didn't he?
You can't always be at top speed for 40 metres or 30 metres, you know. It's how what you've done sort of previously and how tired you are in games. And I'm sure they would have been quite loose in the week, socialising.
Yeah.
That's part of the spirit of it.
Yeah.
But when he's got ball in hand and when he does let loose, he is quick. He's
yeah.
still got pace. But Ben Youngs is fast, mate.
George Ford.
Ford.
Yeah, he is fast, yeah.
But Ben Youngs is fast.
Ben Youngs well. Is faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. So you say it's only the bar bars and all that, but England still conceded 9 tries at Twickenham, record defeat at Twickenham. You know, that's bad. That's really, really bad.
They started off very slow. Robshaw missed quite a few tackles.
I mean, they're playing against some absolute worldies, but if you're talking about, you're seriously talking about internally, whatever, taking on the best teams in the world, including New Zealand at the World Cup next year, I mean... That is way off.
It's
way off.
You look at the missed tackles, because that's how tries come.
Yeah.
Robshaw, unfortunately, missed a few, and quite a lot of those missed tackles led to tries.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a fact.
Yeah. And I saw someone, to be fair, on Twitter say Robshaw made 8 tackles, missed 7, 53%. Don Armand in the final made 18, missed 9. Yeah, but you're taking a brilliant performance, Don Armand, and you're taking a very, very rare poor defensive performance from Chris Robshaw in isolation, but he did have a horrible game.
He missed Radrada, didn't he? Early doors for the first try, just gets on the outside of him, goes too high, just needs to chop him down a bit there.
I mean that's hard work.
But it's still hard work.
They definitely didn't play well enough. But it's that. I mean, I really think that is a serious defeat. I know it's only the bar bars, but that's a serious defeat. You're playing against a team that were boozing until Thursday. And had 3 training sessions together, most of whom have never met, some of whom don't speak a lot of English, and they have torn England to pieces at Twickenham. Torn to pieces.
What I will say is, this Barbas team, they're still a professional outfit, right? They're still aligned with clubs, they're still fit. They wouldn't have spent much time together, but there's not a lot of pressure on them. You could see that, you know, they hardly kicked anything. You know, they weren't kicking ball out of their own 10-metre 22, they were just trying to run everything, and it worked. And... Mate, similar with the England team, right? When has that team played together? You know, they would have had a couple of weeks together. It's a Barbars game as well, so you're entering into the spirit of the Barbars game. You're not treating it like a test match, like a Six Nations game. You're out there to try things, to try combinations, to see if they work, to go out and, I don't know, like express yourself a bit and do something that you wouldn't necessarily do in a test match. So, although they were heavily defeated and there should be some warning signs about possibly the systems and individual errors, it's still a bit of an exhibition match, so I wouldn't get too worked up about it.
Don't tell me not to get worked up, alright? I still reckon England could go out and do some damage in South Africa.
Oh yeah.
I still don't think they're going to get 3-0'd out there.
No.
I think England are in with a shot of winning that series.
At the bench as well, right? You've got Fekitoa,
McAllister, Joe Tacori,
Laidlaw.
Yeah.
Scored a try.
Ridiculous. Like we did in our little... sorry, car alarm was going off. I closed that. That's too much. We shouldn't have to deal with that. That's better. But in our little corporate suite afterwards, you had Elliot Daly and Ben Youngs come up after the game, and they were for a chat. They were brilliant, really good guys. And I said to them, lads, when you're like 15 and you run out against someone really big in your school team and it's like, oh, he's massive, they're massive. Did you run out against the Barbars team get announced, you look at their bench and you think, oh, for Christ's sake. And they were like, mate, Malachi Fekitoa could make the first team. Then we were like, well, you know, yeah, that's going to be hard work. Radradra's out there. That's going to be really hard work. Josh Matavesi, he was brilliant, wasn't he, at 12? He was absolutely brilliant. I thought he had a great game. Best I've ever seen him play.
Makes an outside break as well.
Outside break. Trinder. Does Trinder. But he's one, maybe it's one of those outside breaks because he's genuinely quicker than people think. Also, maybe one of those outside breaks because no one expects him to try and make one because he's 105 kilos.
I don't think he's that quick. I think he's sharp enough. But it's all footwear, mate. All you've got to do is get someone to plant. Get someone to plant. Yeah. You're on the outside of it.
And when you're big, people plant quicker because they're worried about making a big impact.
Yeah, because you've got to chase with your feet as well. You can't just use your arms to tackle someone big. You know, you have to drive forward. Mate, I do it to people in touch all the time.
Okay, I bet you do. but it was, yeah, I mean, I know England scored a few good tries. I thought Piers Francis looked good. He's a tough old cookie.
Yeah, he had a lovely angle for one of his tries.
I thought he looked really good. I like how hard he is because he's not a huge guy, but I think he looks...
Big nose in him as well.
Big nose, but he looks tough.
Yeah, he made a couple of big tackles as well. Probably drove him back. Neil Evans on Twitter, he's got a question for us, guys. Are the likes of Sexton and Farrell now becoming too football-like in the way they attempt to ref the game?
Yes.
So one of the issues was... Johnny Sexton was hit quite high by Scott Williams. James Davis then comes over the top and ends up clobbering
him
a little bit. But for me, that wasn't a penalty. It was. I don't think the tackle was high enough. He gets hit hard. He loses the ball. He's upset. He milks a little bit. He's then having a go at Scott Williams on the way back. He ends up getting a penalty. They end up kicking it to touch. They end up scoring.
Yeah. I'm a huge...
But it worked, is the point.
Yeah, I know. But I'm a huge admirer of Sexton and Farrell, and as blokes as well as players. But I just... It's not just them. I think the remonstrating to referees has really got to be looked at because this is literally how it started with football. This is how it starts. It doesn't just go from 0 to 100 overnight. This is how it starts. So the answer is not just those two, but I think remonstrating to referees should be clamped down on.
You know, the higher class player you are, probably the more respect that a referee will have to you and for you.
Yeah, but you can wander over and have a chat with the ref and say, mate, can you have a quick look at this? Or I thought that. You know, you can have a chat with the ref. You don't have to be shouting at refs and all the histrionics that go with it and remonstrations that go with it. I don't like that.
Did you watch Champions?
No. Oh. Liverpool.
But, yeah.
I saw the poor keeper's errors. I saw the goals and the errors. Oh, poor bloke.
I didn't say this, but my mate said match fixing.
No.
Okay.
Crying his eyes
out. I said that. He wasn't crying, mate. I don't care what. He was not crying. There was no tears. He was trying to cry. He was probably trying to think of like dead puppies or relatives that passed away. He was not crying.
Okay, all right. I didn't look as closely as you.
He was pretending to cry.
Was he?
Yeah, he had his shirt above his nose.
He will live with those errors for the rest of his life.
A terror. Like the first one, can't believe what he was doing. Bale's goal, the second goal, right? The overhead kick. Right, he dives, the keeper dives. He doesn't even stretch his arms out to try and touch the ball. He just leaves it, lets it go into the corner. I don't think he would have got it anyway, but his arms are not stretched. So he's diving. And he hasn't even got his arms out to try and tap it.
He knows.
Possibly he knows, but put your arms out, mate. At least give yourself a chance. And then the third one.
As goalkeeper, you thought being a goalkeeping coach?
I've done a bit of goalkeeping before in charity matches, mate.
You always stick your arms out, don't you?
They're scared of me.
Are they?
Yeah, dominating at the back.
Yeah.
Like a Rottweiler, but bigger and harder.
Whiter. like a Pyrenean mountain dog.
And then the third. He's gone, mate. I couldn't look at him. If I was Klopp, I could not look at him every day in training. I'd just be like that. There he is. That's the bloody bugger that lost us the Champions
League. You are.
We've
got no compassion in you. That's your problem. You're so black and white.
I'm not a perfectionist, mate. That's all.
Gareth Bale say after the game or something he's open for offers because he can't get in the team at Real.
He thought that he should have started.
Yeah, of course he should.
Yeah. Bet Ronaldo wasn't happy, though.
What, because Gareth Bale got the headlines?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sergio Ramos, jeez. I mean, great player, probably a great captain, but I just cannot like him.
He's a chop.
I cannot like him.
On the field, he's a chop.
You know, you just have to get close to him and he falls down. Yeah. Like, if someone said to me, D DHL or one of the big guys, do you want to come and do a corporate event with Sergio Ramos in Monaco? Say, I'd say no.
Would you?
Yeah.
I'd do it.
No, I mean, I wouldn't.
I'd do it, and I'd say, hey, Chief, let's have a look at this. What are you diving for, Chief?
I'd like pinch him behind the arms and stuff.
He'd like object to it, and I'd say, I'm not doing this interview. You dick.
I'd do like stuff like that, see if he went down on the floor. Just pinch him on the arms and stuff.
But if he tried to walk out of my interview, I'd say, I'm gonna attack you. And
it's a great name, though, isn't it? Yeah.
Sergio Ramos. Yeah, whenever anything's busy, I always say it's Sergio Ramos, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Juando. Ramos. Different guy. It's his brother. Okay, so that's probably about it, isn't it, for the whole of the season.
What's been your highlight, mate?
Probably getting my new car in November.
The SVR?
Mm.
What about on the field?
Oh, I've driven it on fields. Oh, gosh, Tommy.
Do you have any?
Oh, you put me on the spot now, haven't you? Haven't you?
Loss of words. David Flatman, loss of words.
I think John Arfoa's offload for Gloucester against Bath at the Rec. Okay. My highlight of the season.
That's ingrained in your long-term memory from a Channel 5 link you've done.
Because I liked it, that's why it's my memory. Okay. Yeah, what's your highlight of the season?
I think it would have to be Garth Anscombe's kick in the final, the Challenge Cup final against Gloucester, to nail the win.
Okay, good stuff. Now we know that.
Who's the hardest player you played against, mate?
Oh, it's poor Francois Pienaar at the weekend at the Prem final.
Did you see him?
Frankie Peanuts was there. You know what he said? He said, hey, Fletty, where's Shanks?
Shut up.
He didn't. Unlucky boy. Oh. I said, you remember Shanks? He said, no, who? I don't remember you, mate. No, that would have been good, wouldn't it?
Tara.
That would have been good. He was on good form, actually. Jeez, he looks fit. He looks big and fit, you know, and healthy.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean, he would be, wouldn't he? Frankie Peanuts.
He was an athlete, that's for sure.
He was a lashlete.
If you remember one game, because this could be it, mate. This could be it. We've got to give something back. If you can remember one game that stands out in your memory, just briefly, quickly, not the 12-minute answer, what would it be?
Leinster beating Exeter at
Sandy Park. That you've played in.
Oh. What?
There's one game from your career that stands out.
Oh, God. 3-3 against Toulouse at the Rec.
Was it really?
Mm.
Game that stands out for the right reasons. Come on, you're not buying into this enough.
Okay. Argentina, England, Buenos Aires, 2002.
Yes. When he set up Phil Christopher's.
That's right. Yours?
Yeah. Probably just dominating the whole game from start to finish against Ireland in 2005 at the Millennium Stadium.
Did you have to watch what you ate when you were a player?
And
to watch what you ate?
And didn't even get man of the match because Brian Moore gave it to Dwayne Peel. That's why I've never really liked Dwayne Peel.
Did you train every day when you played?
No, not every day. You're probably talking 5 days a week.
Who's your best roommate?
Well, back in the day, I reckon it'd probably be Mike Phillips.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
Because when I was in the room, he was out the room. And when he was in the room, I was in the wardrobe watching.
That wasn't a laugh. That's a cough. You should be arrested.
It's a joke.
Right, everyone. See you either.
One last question. I just want to know one last thing.
No. See you next season, guys. No. See you next season.
Okay.
I'm going now.
Okay. Goodbye.
I'm starving. Bye.
Bye.